If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Isaiah chapter 40, we'll begin with verse 9. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. And I want to draw on that theme today. Here is your God. As I referenced earlier, the nations around Israel had multiplicities of gods. Gods of their own creation. Gods that couldn't hear, gods that couldn't speak, gods that couldn't act. And yet the peoples of these pagan nations were devoted to these gods of their own creation. In contrast to that, a prophet Isaiah declares, here is your God. Here is your God. And that's the God I want to talk about today, the God that we worship, the God that we serve, the God that we sang about this morning. The title of my message today is Transcendent Yet Immanent. Transcendent Yet Immanent. And that really, that title encompasses the whole outline of my message. You know, some people say, how many points is he going to have today? Is he going to have 3? Is he going to have 6 or 8? Is lunch going to be late? Well, I only have 2 today. That doesn't, somebody said amen to that. That doesn't mean lunch will be early though, so don't get too excited. I want to look at 2 aspects of God's character today and see how they are significant and how they are so critically important for you and me to understand. How many know that though we will never through all eternity completely understand God because he is completely beyond our understanding, yet little by little, the more that we can understand Him, how many know that's a good thing? About 2 of you here, okay. I'm kidding. We know that's a good thing. So I want to share with you 2 aspects of God's character that we need to understand, and I think it'll make a significant difference in our lives. The first quality or characteristic of God that we need to understand this morning is that He is transcendent. That speaks of His greatness. He is transcendent. Transcendence means that God is separate from and independent of nature and humanity. God is separate from and independent of nature and humanity. The theologian R.C. Sproul tells us that transcendence means literally to climb across. It is defined as exceeding the usual limits. When we speak of the transcendence of God, we are talking about that sense in which God is above and beyond us. He is higher than the world. He has absolute power over the world. The world has no power over Him. Transcendence describes God in His consuming majesty, His exalted loftiness, that He is an infinite cut above everything else. And I want to break that down a little bit, His transcendence, into 2 aspects. The first is this, it's that God is immense. We know what we mean by that? He's immense. Whereas you and I are confined to a finite body, God, who is spirit, God is immense. Look here in Isaiah 40 at verses 12 through 17. It says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Or with the breath of His hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. Isaiah here talks about God's immensity. He says, who is it who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him? Who imparted knowledge to God Almighty? And the understood answer is no one. He is immense. It says that the nations are like a drop in a bucket. And sometimes we mistakenly bring God down to our level in the sense that we think that God is like us. God is so far beyond us. He is immense. The scripture says he spoke. Can you imagine this? You know, we become so familiar with our orthodox theology that we sometimes miss the significance of it or the profundity of it. The scripture says he spoke and the universe came into existence. Can we contemplate that? Can we understand that? That's the God we pray to. That's the God we fellowship with. That's the God we have sung to this morning. He spoke and the universe came into existence. He is immense. David said in the Psalms, where can I go from your presence, O Lord? Where can I flee from you? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. There is no place in the universe we can go that God isn't present. You know, just a few days ago, NASA landed its latest probe on Mars. Have you heard about that? And this one, of course, is more advanced than the others. They were talking about 7 seconds of terror would it land, you know, and it did, sending back high-definition pictures from Mars. Well, that's kind of a big deal. Mars is, it varies because of its elliptical orbit, but it can be up to 250 million miles away. That's a hike. And they're talking in the next 10 or 15 years about manned missions to Mars. So that's pretty incredible. The Perseverance, it's called, this rover is collecting samples, and future missions, the aim is to actually fetch those samples and bring them back to Earth from 250 million miles away. It's incredible what science has been able to accomplish. But you know what? Not only is God here, God is on Mars. He's there. He's everywhere. That's how immense he is. It would take... It takes, on average, a spacecraft about 7 months. You know, going to the moon was a big deal in 1969. That took a few days. That took like 3 or 4 days. It would take 7 months for a craft to get to Mars. And yet God is there. He's so immense. No wonder he makes giants fall. No wonder he shakes prison walls with songs of praise. We serve a mighty God. Amen. We serve a mighty God. And our expressions of grandeur and descriptions of his majesty only fail to do him justice. We serve a big, mighty, awesome God. And, you know, we go through life and our problems sometimes look so big. And I get that. I feel that. But I'm not minimizing the problems we go through, but I think sometimes we need to get our eyes off our problems and get our eyes on this great big God who's so big, who's so immense. that the planets, the nations are a drop in the bucket to him. Aren't you thankful we serve a great, big, wonderful God? And not only is God immense, but he's incomparable. Look at verse 18. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Isaiah tells us here that God is incomparable. There is no one to compare or nothing to compare to him. You know, we come up with analogies, don't we, to try and describe the nature of Almighty God. And you've heard the different analogies for the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's like three-in-one oil, you know. Or you take an egg, you know, and you have the shell, the yolk, and the white. And you know, those analogies can maybe be helpful to a point if they help us understand one small facet of who God is. But the fact of the matter is there is no analogy. You know, when you give an analogy, you compare like things to like. You say, this is like this. There is no analogy that fully describes God because there's nothing like God. He is the one and only. He is the original. Amen? There is nothing to compare to him. And man becomes so arrogant, don't we? We think, and I mentioned science and the wonders of science and exploration of space. Man, that's wonderful. But it's God that allows us to do that. It's God that gives us the intellect, referring to mankind, to be able to do those things. He holds everything in the palm of his hand. There's nothing to compare with Almighty God. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says this. God speaking, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Any theology that doesn't take into account the transcendence of God is a faulty theology. Any theology that makes him like us and limited like us as a faulty theology. Because God is transcendent. He is immense. He is incomparable. There's a song that says, there is no one like our God. Chris Tomlin sings a song, there is no one like our God. We sang it today. There's nothing to compare to Almighty God. The story is told of a man who got up to speak at a conference. And behind him was a banner proclaiming the motto of the conference. It said, God is other people. And he understood the thought behind that because he truly believed that we're called to love upon and regard and respect those among whom we live. But he thought about it and thought, that's really not good theology. God is other people. And so he took out a felt marker. And on that banner, after the word other, he put a comma, which changed the meaning of that banner. It now read, God is other people. He was exhorting his fellow conference attendees to contemplate the nature of Almighty God as something other than us, as someone who is transcendent, as someone who is immense, as someone who is incomparable. We need to remember that the God we serve, the God whose word we claim to live by, the God to whom we pray, is transcendent. He is beyond us. There's nothing to compare to him. He is the sovereign God who reigns forever and ever and ever. He doesn't exist in time. He created time. He exists in eternity. And everything in the universe, everything in all creation is subject to him because he is the transcendent God. And that's the God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that we serve a transcendent God, that there's nothing or no one like him? See, because if that wasn't the case, he wouldn't really be God, would he? If he was a lesser God, he wouldn't really be God. We serve the mighty God. Say, Pastor Tim, well, I kind of get that. Yeah, but do we meditate on it? Do we contemplate it? Are we profoundly moved by the fact that he is the awesome God? He's transcendent. We serve a transcendent God. You serve a transcendent Almighty God. Amen. Amen. What's the second quality of the God that we serve? It's that he is immanent. Immanent with an A. His immanence. It refers to his nearness, the fact that he is nearness. When we refer to God's immanence, we are referring to his presence and activity within nature, within human nature and within history. The dictionary defines immanence as existing in and extending into all parts of the created world. When we say that God is immanent, we are affirming that he is close to us. Though he is great and far superior and different from us, though he's transcendent, he is also personal. He condescends or lowers himself to be close to us and to be known by us. And you see, this is as equally true and significant as the reality of his transcendence. Some people might say, well, he can't be both, but he is both. He is transcendent, but he is immanent. He is near to us. Aren't you thankful that God is near to us? That we serve a personal God? Isaiah describes three ways here that God is immanent or near to us. First of all, we see that God cares for us. God cares for us. Look at verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He tends his flock like a shepherd. One of the most often used motifs in Scripture to describe God's relationship to his people is that of a shepherd caring for his sheep. You know, a shepherd is everything to the sheep. Sheep aren't very bright. Sheep have to be led. Sheep have to be cared for. And the shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd is devoted to the sheep. Jesus, in John's gospel, contrasted a hireling with a shepherd. The first sign of trouble, the hireling says, I better get on out of here. He doesn't worry too much about the sheep. But a shepherd is devoted to the sheep. A shepherd will care for the sheep. He will protect the sheep. He will see that all the needs of the sheep are met. This awesome, all-powerful, transcendent God cares for us. Think about that. Why do we worry? Why do we fret? Why do we become anxious? And church, listen, I'm human just like you. I have times of anxiety. And so I'm saying this to myself, why do I worry? Why do I fret? Why do I become anxious? The Lord of the universe, the Lord of creation, cares for me. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We go through times we think no one cares for us, don't we? We have pity parties. You know the thing about pity parties? You send out invitations, nobody comes. You have a pity party all by yourself. Well, Pastor Tim, you don't know what's happened to me. If anybody's entitled to a pity party, I am. Well, you know, I get that feeling. But the fact of the matter is, why do we worry? He cares for us. What are you experiencing today? What are your biggest fears? What are the things that cause the anxiety in your life? God cares about that need. He cares about what you're feeling right now. He cares about your struggle. He cares about your financial difficulties. He cares about your emotional upheaval. He cares about your loneliness. He cares about your day-to-day problems. He cares for us. He cares for us. And we can't always see him working, but how many know God is always working behind the scenes? God always is always active on our behalf. You ever go through a trial and you're wondering perhaps at different times during that trial, God, where are you? Where's God? We get on the other side of the trial, and what do we find out? He was always there, wasn't he? Working, moving mountains, shaking prison walls, making giants fall, working on our behalf. Why? Because he cares for us, like a shepherd cares for his sheep. And then not only does the immanent God care for us, but he sees us. He sees our situation. Look at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Isaiah is talking to Israel, the people of God, and says, why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord? We feel like that sometimes, don't we? Don't we? God, what's the matter? Can't you see? Aren't you aware? Remember when Jesus was on the boat and he was in the lower part of the ship with his disciples on board, and the storm began to rage on the sea? And remember they woke Jesus? He was asleep. And they woke him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And in other words, aren't you aware of what's going on? Of course, we know what Jesus did. He spoke to the storm, spoke to the wind and the waves and the rain, and said, be quiet. Let me tell you, when the Lord of the universe says to any facet of nature, be quiet, it gets quiet. And the storm stilled. And I know sometimes it feels like, God, don't you see? God, aren't you aware of what I'm going through? Let me tell you, he sees. He is aware. And can I tell you this? He knows much, much more about your situation than you do. He knows where it's come from. He knows how to fix it. And he knows the proper time to act. And he will act in his time. And he will bring deliverance in his time and his way. But many times, God wants us to learn something through the difficulty. How many know that's true? And what we need to do sometimes is, Lord, help me to learn the lesson you want me to learn through this difficulty, through this sickness, through this financial difficulty, through this emotional situation, through this hurt and anxiety. Lord, help me to learn what you want me to learn, and help me to trust in you. And Lord, I trust in you that by faith that you see my situation. He sees you. Your way isn't hidden from the Lord. He knows exactly where you are. And as I said, he knows more about your situation than you do. Can we trust him? He's imminent. He's near. He cares for us like a shepherd for his sheep. He sees our situation. And he knows what we're going through. And then the third aspect of his imminence that Isaiah tells us about, I love this, is that God strengthens us. God strengthens us. Look at verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Somebody say amen. Amen. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Well, not only does he care for us, not only does he see us in the midst of our situation, but he imparts strength to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you feel weak today? Do you feel like you're stumbling around? Do you feel like you have no strength to go on? Let me tell you, he wants to impart strength to you today. He wants to enable you to rise up on wings like eagles. He wants you to run and to not become weary and faint. Hallelujah. I can think back to many, many times over my Christian life where I felt weak and inadequate. You ever feel that way? And the Lord imparted his strength to me. When you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you can't continue, I want you to know that your God is imminent. He's close. He's nearby. And he will impart strength to you to go on. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Other translations say, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We don't like to wait, do we? Especially in this day and age. I love technology. You know, I'm a geek, I admit it. One of the things I love about technology is the immediacy of it, don't you? But I think we've become spoiled. We just want everything now, if not yesterday, right? As I said a moment ago, sometimes God is doing things in us through a trial. Sometimes we just need to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, those who place their hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. I get it. You feel like you can't go on. I can't take another day of this. I can't take another day of COVID. I can't take another day of being locked up. I can't take another day of financial stress. I can't take another day of illness and weakness. God strengthens us. He imparts strength to the weary. Do you feel weary? Do you feel worn down today? I want you to know that God is the source of your strength. And so it's so awesome that this transcendent God is also imminent. He's near. Where do you find yourself today? I want you to know that God will draw near to you as you draw near to him. Do you feel distant from God? Do you feel like he's far away? Someone said, you take one step toward God, he'll take two toward you. How many found that to be true? God is desirous to be close to you. Will you take a step today? Will you take a step toward him? Maybe you haven't sought him in prayer for a while. Will you get down on your knees and get away from distractions? Say, Lord, I want to draw near to you. You may not see handwriting on the wall. You may not hear angels sing. But let me tell you, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You will sense his nearness, his presence. Back in 1994, my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer. And he was diagnosed on the 6th of October. And by the 24th of October, he had passed away 18 days. And my parents lived in North Carolina at the time. And over a three-week period, I made 5 trips down there to be with my mom and my dad. I figured out I spent, of the 21 nights over 3 weeks, I spent 14 of them down in North Carolina because I needed to be with them. You know, and I'm close enough. My brothers live in other parts of the country. I'm close enough. I was able to do that, but it was a little challenging. We're still pastoring the church and carrying on my responsibilities and taking care of my own family here. my wife and my young children, but they graciously understood. But, you know, at a time like that, we would talk on the telephone, of course, but a phone call wasn't enough. I had to be with Dad. I had to be with Mom. There's something about being present. Thank God for technology. We can call and text and email and all that. But, boy, something about being up close and personal. And I'll never regret one trip down there, one moment of being down there with Mom and Dad during that time. Because there's something about being in person. And we serve a God who's not distant. We serve a God who's up close and personal. If you feel like God is distant from you today, as I said a moment ago, draw near to Him. He will draw near to you. He wants to be close to you. There's an old song that says He's as close as the mention of His name. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? You've sensed the nearness and the presence of Almighty God. He loves you. He wants to be with you. In conclusion this morning, we need to understand that both the transcendence and the immanence of God are vital to our understanding of who God is. We can't emphasize one to the exclusion of the other. If we focus only on His transcendence without a sense of His immanence, we can perceive God as being aloof and distant. Matter of fact, there was a theology that was prevalent, still exists, I'm sure, but it was prevalent a couple hundred years ago, known as deism. You ever hear of deism? Deism sees God as a creator who pretty much set the universe in motion and then stepped back from it. Disinterested, uninvolved. His transcendence is critical to understand, but if we emphasize just that, we'll see Him as a distant God. If we focus, on the other hand, exclusively on His immanence and His nearness and ignore His transcendence, we can become overly subjective about God. Remember the parable of the three blind men who were touching a different part of the elephant? You ever hear that? One described an elephant, he was holding on to the trunk, another one was holding on to a leg, another one a tail, and they described the elephant differently because they had limited understanding. If we focus only on the immanence of God, we become subjective about who He is, and we look for an immediate feeling, and we limit our perspective of who He is. And we see God in everything. There's a philosophy known as pantheism, that God is in everything. God is in nature. God is in the trees, and you know, God is in the wood of this pew. And that's not an accurate representation of who God is, because we said God is transcendent. He's other. So you get my point. We can't emphasize one to the exclusion of the other. He is a transcendent God. He is other than us. He is other than His creation. He is immense. He is incomparable. He is the all-encompassing God who is everywhere at every moment. But He's also immanent. He's near to us. He's personal. He's involved. He's close to us. Aren't you thankful for that? Remember that prayer? God is great. God is good. Our God is great. And He's good. Amen? Praise God for who He is. He's transcendent, yet He's immanent.